Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV. Still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. It's the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208601455. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or no one will understand either of us, and I'll have swiftly to move on. You can also SMS the show on 4478008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. And we're joined, as always now, by the listeners of Colourful Radio. Salute to the most colourful radio station in the country. But listeners, remember, those phone numbers and other details are for this show only. And remember also that what I'm going to say tonight represents my own views only, no one else. They don't necessarily represent the views of Press TV, and they certainly don't represent the views of any government. But they do represent my genuine and heartfelt beliefs. And if you have different ones, then your call, SMS or email will be especially welcome. We're talking, of course, what else? About Syria. Because the whole world is talking about Syria, but very few in the so-called mainstream media are telling the truth about it. They have accepted a tray of lies from their political leaders and dish up from that tray as if these were chiseled on stone and handed down from the mountain as commandments. But the truth is that it is the job of journalists and it is the job of politicians to question what we're told by the state and by our leaders. Unfortunately, there are precious few journalists or politicians, for that matter, who are ready to do that. We'll be asking tonight, who is influencing the policies of the Takfiri fanatics operating in Syria? You'll have noticed that the so-called Free Syrian Army, which is neither Free Syrian nor an army, it's not free because it belongs to those who pay for it and own it. It's not Syrian, although there are Syrians in it, because most of its fighting is done by foreign fighters, fanatics who have come from all over the world to join their forces. And it's not an army because its members habitually behave like beasts, eating other men's hearts, cutting off other people's heads, and destroying churches, monasteries, and other holy places of religions and sects of religions that they don't like. Their own narrow, fanatic, Takfiri interpretation of Islam being the only one acceptable to them. Now, President Putin's running rings around the United States. President Barack Obama, who, if it weren't for the British policy determined in the Parliament just a week or so ago, would already be in a war, a disastrous war, and one against the wishes of the public opinion in both of our countries. On both sides of the Atlantic, the majority against being involved in a war in Syria is simply overwhelming. The British Parliament threw David Cameron's war plan out for the first time since 1782 that a British Prime Minister was refused permission to continue fighting a war. 1782, and in the United States, Obama's had to call off the vote because he knew he was going to lose it, and big time. So it seems that President Putin, writing in the New York Times today, is speaking for the American people rather more clearly and precisely and accurately than their own president is. I'm certainly speaking for the British people a lot more clearly than David Cameron is, or the Bush and Blair Corporation, formerly known as the BBC, which continues to act arrogantly as the wartime propaganda bureau of whatever British government is in power. I had another example of that on the Daily Politics on BBC today. No doubt you'll catch up with that on YouTube. I promise you, it's worth watching. So let's hear from the viewers and the listeners about what they think we're doing in Syria. And where it's going, who's influencing whom, who owns whom and what. Adam is the first caller in London. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George.
You're welcome.
It's been a long time.
And
thank
a long
you
time
very
it
much.
Has been. Go ahead.
Yes, I heard you on RT, I think 3 days ago, and you were fantastic. I totally endorse the campaign to get Mr. Blair and George Bush to The Hague so that they can be tried for war crime.
That's where
and
they
for
should
what
be.
They've done in Iraq and what they are continuously going to do in Syria. George, you made a wonderful statement that the Syrian Free Syrian Army doesn't belong to the Syrian people. It is an army of diabolic-minded people who were formed outside Syria to go into Syria to propagate their agenda to consolidate the state of Israel. George, I think Putin is a star. He is now the president of the world, and we must confer that to him. We should get rid of Mr. Barack Obama's Nobel Peace Prize and give it to Mr. Putin, allegedly somebody without a good human track record. But he has proven to the world that he is more human-centered than the so-called Jesus Christ of this so-called democracy. George, let's see the peace that Russia wants to broker now. Mm. He says, okay, if you say that Syria is going to use the chemical weapon on its people, let us get the chemical weapon under the control of international community. And I don't think that is just said by that and you end there. But Russia will provide whatever security necessary to the people of Syria in case of foreign aggression, so that anybody who dares to invade or attack Syria will be expelled by Russian, and believe Russia can do that.
Well, now, I agree, Adam, we're losing the line a little bit, so let me respond to what you've said so far, with which I completely agree and concur. This is the beginning of history. You remember that the idiot Fukuyama notoriously and hopelessly wrongly predicted it was the end of history when the Soviet Union ceased to exist. He thought that Russia was headed to the kind of perdition that President Yeltsin was likely to preside over. But Russia is back, and it's back at the center of world events. And so this is the beginning of a new era in history, an era in which the United States does not dictate what happens in the world, and the people of the United States begin to dictate to their government what their government should and shouldn't do. Now, this is a magnificent turn of events, and one which will make the world more safe and more fair. Because, of course, if you have only one superpower in the world, by definition, the world is completely out of balance. But if you have multipolarity in the world, where more and more powers and blocks of powers begin to emerge, who cannot be ignored in the conduct of international affairs, then that makes the world a safer and a more balanced place, produces equilibrium in international affairs. And I just say this, Adam, if diplomacy manages to resolve the issue of chemical weapons in Syria, it should go on to resolve the question of chemical weapons, biological weapons, and nuclear weapons in Israel next door. That seems only fair. If Syria is to be disarmed of its weapons of mass destruction, what would be the argument for Israel being allowed to retain a mountain of weapons of mass destruction? But secondly, if diplomacy can solve the issue of weapons in the war in Syria, it can be used to resolve the war itself. And it's time that those who own and pay for the so-called Syrian rebels are forced to force their satraps, their servants, their mercenaries to go to Geneva and sit down under the chairmanship of Russia and the United States and negotiate a transition to democracy in Syria. That's what Kofi Annan set out to try and do 2 years ago, but he's been robbed and humiliated of the fruits of his labors. It's time now to go back to Geneva. Mahmoud is on the line and he's in Syria, so we must hear what he has to say. Mahmoud, go ahead. Mahmoud?
Yeah, hello. Yes, George. Nice to have me again.
And you, sir, go ahead. We always like to hear from the front. Go on.
Yes, I think I've spelled everything. But I want to remind you something about Putin. He said a very beautiful phrase about that we are all created equal by God.
Yes.
That shows you that there is a great morality in Russia, then in America, and in Britain. That's a very powerful speech that
yes,
he gave.
It was.
Considering, comparing to this American politician, Galloway, you know, if you want to become an American politician, you must acquire a PhD of liar. And you obtain that PhD of liar, then you can be a senator or a congress or a president. Before they open their mouth, through their face, you can see them, these are liars, bunch of liars. That's the only comment I want to give you.
Well, I'm grateful for it, though I'm sorry to hear it. But it's undoubtedly true that our countries are led by liars. And that's why the public has absolutely no confidence in what they say. They seek to make people hate Syria, hate Iran. Tomorrow it might be hating Egypt or hating somewhere else. And they beat their drums in the tame mainstream media. And they imagine that people will fall in and salute their latest war fever. But that's not happening anymore, neither in the United States nor in Britain. Hallelujah. I say, Mahmoud, thanks for that call from Syria. Lever is closer to home in Norwich in England. Lever.
Always a pleasure.
And you, go ahead.
Just wanted to share, I know you're busy, so I'll get on with it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Senator McCain was caught off guard 3 days ago.
Yes.
He was confronted by a man called Christopher Green.
Yes.
From alternative media. He's one of these non-corporate journalists.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he was asked about the wider implications specifically towards Russia, China, Iran, etc. if the US attacked Syria, escalating into a World War III scenario.
Mm.
Now, Mr. McCain's was, it said that he was expected to be interviewed by Fox or CNN. Anyway, he was taken aback and his answers were quite bizarre. Now, these answers, I quote, this is what he said, "It doesn't concern me in the slightest what Russia, Iran and China are going to do. They will not act because we are the most powerful nation in the world.
Mm.
I can guarantee this. It has been shown that when Israel attacked Syria, they also did not react." So, this is the mindset of these insane Zionist elite.
Yes, it's and I'm not sure. I mean, if he's the elite lever, then God help us. This man who can barely string half a dozen words together, who was absolutely annihilated by Barack Obama in the presidential election, who sits playing poker on his telephone during the Senate hearings into Syria, which he had demanded and organized, this man whose knuckles trail the ground. You talked earlier, or someone talked earlier from Syria, I think, about a PhD in life. This man certainly has no PhD of any kind. This moron, McCain, is being given control of American foreign policy by President Barack Obama. But it isn't working. This is the point I'm making to you. If the Russians had not rescued Barack Obama off the hook they took him, he would have been absolutely humiliated, losing the vote in both the Senate and the House of Representatives, and would then have had to decide whether to make war despite the overwhelming majority in public opinion in his country, and despite the rejection of his plans by both houses of his Congress. That would have been a very humiliating place to be. And I watched Barack Obama and his body language in his Far From Gettysburg address to the nation just a night or two ago. He looked forlorn, pathetic, actually. I didn't feel sorry for him. I only felt contempt. Mahmoud is in Germany. Let's hear from there. Mahmoud, who do you think's influencing the policies of the Takfiri fanatics in Syria? What can we do now? Where are we headed? But you'll have to turn your TV down. Go ahead, Mahmoud. Yes, go on. You're on the air. Go on.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir. Go on.
Yeah, God bless you and continue blessing you.
Thank you, sir.
The first point I want to do is I was thinking that Mr. McCain was a war prisoner in Vietnam.
He was a war criminal. He was a war criminal. He was a war criminal bombing the largely defenseless people of a poor Southeast Asian country, which had never harmed him, never harmed his country, merely wanted independence and unity on its own land. So he was a war criminal, yes, and he was briefly stopped from his crimes by being captured by the people of Vietnam. Go ahead, Mahmoud.
Exactly, but it is time for him to learn something from Putin, because now Putin shows us that he is the real world superpower. Because someone that brings the peace, if someone brings peace, that means you are the superpower. Not someone who go and bomb and kill children and kill innocents. And the second one is the Free Syrian Army. I was here praying, and I saw it. I was reading the headline. They was like, no, they don't trust Russian. They don't trust Russian. So the Americans should come and bomb their country and kill innocent people, because of they enjoy being a leader. So they are not going to save the people of Syria. Instead, they want to be just like someone like McCain, someone to tell them that they are leaders. That's what I think of. So Mr. Galloway, tell me something about that.
Tell me, Mahmoud, how is the mood in Germany? Is the Syria question impacting on the general election that's imminent there? Unfortunately, we lost Mahmoud, and he disobeyed the first rule of comment. The volume on your television has to be at zero. Very, very important. Let's talk to Mukhtar, who is in India. Wow, we don't get many calls from India. Mukhtar, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. Thanks for calling us. Tell me, what would you like to say?
Most welcome. I would like your opinion, George, on the opposition in Syria. I mean, do we even have a credible opposition there?
I myself don't believe so. That's not to say... Let me say this, because I haven't said it for a while. The Syrian people have every right to be in opposition to their government. The Syrian people have every right to overthrow their government if they are not happy with it. That right belongs to all people in all countries. But a number of things have emerged. The first is that the majority of Syrian people do not want to overthrow their government. And that's largely down to the character of their opposition, who are, first of all, not Syrian. Secondly, the most bloodthirsty, mass murdering, torturing, heart-eating brutes that we have seen active in the world for centuries. And thirdly, when a group of oppositionists are hated and feared by every single religious and ethnic minority in the country that they are operating in, that opposition is not fit to rule, because democracy is not just about counting heads and the majority deciding to eat the minorities. A polity of two wolves and a sheep, where the wolves vote to eat the sheep. Democracy is about what happens after elections, as much as the actual election itself. Democracy is about protecting the rights of minorities in your country, religious minorities, ethnic minorities, and on all those tests, the so-called opposition in Syria has failed, at least the external opposition. There is an internal, democratic and patriotic opposition inside Syria that ought to be involved in the negotiations which need now to take place in Geneva. Mukhtar, what do you say?
Exactly, and that you've highlighted very nice facts. But if this is for a fact, then why does the West speak so highly of the opposition? I mean, the opposition has not done anything respectable so far. They
No.
have attacked even the holiest of shrines for the Shia Muslims.
Well,
and they have done everything bad.
They actually exhumed the remains of a companion of the Prophet and tossed them around the tomb. Imagine a man who had kissed the face of the Prophet Muhammad. His remains were being thrown hither and thither by these people when they desecrated his tomb. They have, in Maalula, destroyed Christian holy places, terrorized and murdered Christian people in one of the most beautiful citadels of Christianity left in the world, where the people continue to speak Aramaic, the language of Jesus himself. That's the quality of the so-called opposition in Syria. Let's talk to Ghazali, who's in Iran. Ghazali, welcome to the show. Ghazali, please put your television down at zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
Go on, sir.
Okay.
Yes, you're on the air. Go on.
Okay. So, hello, George.
Hello there. Speak up, please, quickly.
I'm so happy to talk to you, George.
Thank you.
And so, I would like to tell you that the world should know that Obama is doing the wrongest action. The Islamic and also the other countries of the world should help Syria to defend its own property. I also write. I'm also Iran, and I want my country to help Syria. It's better to say, if U.S., the United States of America, starts this kind of war, we'll have a great failure. So, George, I would like to know your own personal idea about this kind of decision in the United States of America. Is it better for the United States of America to start the war or not?
Well, I think the American people have already decided that in overwhelming numbers. The people of the United States rejected the idea of yet another war against yet another Arab country. And they have spoken in the public opinion polls and through their congressional representatives. Rand Paul, for example, described the telephone calls that his office was receiving as running at 100-1 against war. Other senators and congresspeople with no axe to grind of any kind were reporting that only 2 or 3 out of hundreds of calls and letters and emails that they were receiving were supporting them and asking them to vote for a new war in Syria. So the people of the United States have spoken overwhelmingly. They want a nation building at home. They want disarmament at home. They want to take automatic weapons out of the hands of people killing school children on virtually a weekly basis in their own country. They want to be building bridges and schools and hospitals and infrastructure in their own country, not destroying other countries and then nation building in those. The British people feel overwhelmingly the same. We don't want war with Iran or Syria. As a matter of fact, we don't want war with anybody. There's more than enough to be going on with here in our own country. I'll be right back, God willing. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. And we're talking about Syria. But we're talking about it from the standpoint of truth, not propaganda, unlike the so-called BBC, otherwise known as the Bush and Blair Corporation. And the rest, they're just one of a panoply of so-called mainstream media, which are nothing more than echo chambers of the politicians that they serve. In the case of the BBC, the deal is obvious. The politicians tax the public compulsorily on pain of fines and imprisonment in order to pay for the bloated salaries and payoffs and the rank corruption which has been evident in the BBC in recent years. And the BBC serves them up propaganda in return. We're talking about Syria, and we want to hear your point of view. Here's Matthew in London. Let's hear from him. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. I want to talk about the pipeline politics aspect of the conflict in Syria.
Okay.
You know, you've got like the Saudis and the Qataris, they want to build these oil and gas pipelines to Western Europe through Syria. And then, you know, Assad, he has refused to allow this to happen. And then, you know, propping up Assad, you've got Russia, who want to maintain their monopoly on energy supplies into Western Europe. So, I mean, can you address that? Because I think that's a major part of why the West is hitting Assad, why they want to take him down.
I can't address it because I don't know anything about it. I hear pipelines coming up in discussion in just about every conflict in the world. So, of course, I wouldn't be surprised if that were so. And I'm certainly not discounting it or disrespecting your theory, Matthew. I just simply don't know enough about it. But I do know this, that an ocean of oil and gas has been discovered in the Mediterranean, in the triangle, between Palestine and Syria and Cyprus. If you can imagine a triangle where the base is the landmass from Syria to the Gaza Strip, and the triangle going out into the Mediterranean, meeting in Cyprus, you have an ocean of oil and gas which has been discovered there. And that drives a lot of the international politics in relationship to all these countries. If you think about it, Lebanon, once this oil and gas is onshore and making money, will become a very wealthy country indeed. So will Palestine. And those who control the coastline of Palestine will have riches beyond their imaginations, which is another reason why the so-called settler state of Israel wants to maintain its occupation of the Palestinian land so that they can be the ones who determine where that money goes. Those who are intriguing and conspiring against Lebanon on a daily basis, ditto. And of course, if the Arab nationalist government can be toppled in Damascus and replaced by a stooge government, or even a government like Libya, which is a mixture of stooges and Al-Qaeda, well, the West would be quids in on that. Thanks, Matthew, for the call, and please forgive me that I have no expertise in the matter of the pipeline of which you speak. Isa is in Moscow, where it's all happening this very day. Isa, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. George Galloway.
Good evening from Moscow. I want to hear your view.
Yeah, Mr. George, I have some few questions. I'm very happy that our president, Mr. Vladimir Putin, have break the peace. He should be given a Nobel Peace Prize for peace.
Yeah.
For not going to, for Syria not to be bombed by the U.S. and its allies.
Yeah.
Now, my question is this. How can we be guaranteed that if Syria hand over his weapons of mass destruction, or the chemical weapons, the U.S. and its allies would not continue with their plan of bombing Syria just immediately as he hand over his weapons of mass destruction? Because we can remember in Iraq with Hans Blix, after the inspections, they were destroying the weapons of Saddam Hussein. And immediately after all the long-range missiles, the short-range missiles were being destroyed, all the weapons were being destroyed, George Bush and Tony Blair decided to invade immediately. So we should not look this as a point to disarm Syria before the fight starts.
Well, I certainly...
And again...
I'm absolutely sure, Issa, that your president, President Putin, will be insisting on an assurance from the United States that in return for the destruction of these weapons, the placing, first of all, of the control of them in the hands of the United Nations, and then their destruction in a controlled and safe way, that the quid pro quo for that will be a guarantee of an end to Western attacks upon Syria. Not just the threat of bombardment, but the threat, which is real and present, to continue arming foreign forces loyal to Al-Qaeda, who are using now American weapons from this day. It was in the New York Times this day that American weapons have finally ended up in the hands of the Al-Qaeda-dominated rebel army. This has to stop. You cannot ask a country to disarm itself whilst you send weapons to its enemies. This is simply unconscionable. Now, there is a precedent. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, the negotiations between Washington and Moscow, some of which were in secret, were nonetheless clear. The Soviet Union removed its missiles from Cuba. The United States removed its missiles from Turkey. And the United States guaranteed that it would never again invade and seek to occupy Cuba. And it never has. It was a deal reached by diplomacy that worked and saved the world. That's what we need now. Sabah is on the line in France, another of the would-be belligerent countries. Sabah, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Good evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. Go ahead.
There is two points, George, I'd like to talk to you about. Yeah. The first one, you did not agree with me many moons ago. And Barack Obama did his speech in Cairo, and you were all giving him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. And I said to you at the time that he hasn't got a chance, no matter how honorable you think he is. He is surrounded by Zionists. And he did not agree with me, and you gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Isn't that an obligation, Sabah? Isn't that a religious obligation to give people the benefit of the doubt?
Okay, but what I mean is, he did not agree with me. He couldn't see it that because he was surrounded by Zionists, he hasn't got a chance to be any better than Bush. The next point I'd like to talk to you, George, about is the Syria and the president of Syria. I think they had America on the run. I think America is like a car with four blown-up tires punctured. They cannot throw any weight or any rockets or any of that propaganda they were doing. They should have stood up to it and made Israel give up their atomic or the mass destruction ammunition that they have as a condition.
Well, look, Sabah.
What do you think of that, George?
Look, Sabah, I'm impressed by your willingness to fight to the last drop of Syrian blood. But if I were Syrian, I'd be very grateful to President Putin for the diplomatic move that he made. The United States is not a car with four blown-out tires. It has the ability to throw death and destruction through the skies and to massacre large numbers of Syrian people. It's a car that's past its sell-by date. It's a car that's running out of fuel. It's a car that's very last decade's model, but it's not a car which has no tires. It is not a power that has no ability to kill. It has the ability to kill. That they have been stopped in their tracks, in their intention to kill, is something that we should celebrate. Samsom is on the line from Eritrea, a place I haven't been since 1985. Samsom, welcome to the show. Did we lose that call? What a pity, because I so wanted to talk to someone in Eritrea. Unfortunately, that line was cut, but there are many of you trying to get through, and we'll try to get to the next caller momentarily. We're talking about Syria, who is influencing the policies of the Takfiri fanatics who are causing such death, destruction and mayhem in Syria. Who are the Free Syrian Army who instructed the United States today that they would not support any deal which John Kerry negotiates with Sergei Lavrov in Moscow? Let's talk to Issam in Syria. Hear what it's like on the front line. Issam, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir. Tell us.
I think there's two parties want to keep this war going. The first is the Saudi and the Gulf states altogether. They want that fire keep going in Syria so they can keep it off their land or their backyard. And the point, you know, like they're teaching their people, look what happened in Syria. If you ever think about going revolution against us, that's what will happen to you. And I think they are pissed off from our president when they call him half-man after the war in 2006 against Hezbollah. And the second party who want to keep this war going, I think the U.S., because they don't mind, you know, like if they kill 23 million Syrians just to keep the state of Israel safe.
Well, Issam, I'm sure that there are many powers that want to keep the conflict going. The latter power that you mentioned, Israel, very definitely, in the words of Henry Kissinger during the Iran-Iraq war, he famously said that it's a pity both of them can't lose. And he followed a policy to try and keep the war going for as long as possible. He wanted Iraqis and Iranians to slaughter each other because he was hostile and hated both of the peoples involved. And the same is true of Israel in Syria today. It wants nothing more than the continuation of endless war, death and destruction in Syria. Because of course, whilst everyone, especially in the Muslim world, is fixated upon a so-called jihad in Syria, nobody is contesting or struggling against the Israeli occupation of Palestinian land, the continued destruction of Palestinian houses, the continued Judaization of Holy Jerusalem, the ethnic cleansing of the Arab areas in Jerusalem, and so on. All of that is going on apace, as well, of course, the continued starvation of the Palestinian people in Gaza. Nobody's doing that about any of these things because they're all seeking to give their support to a so-called jihad in Syria, or they are trying to defend Syria against that so-called jihad. It's really not rocket science. And the head of the snake, I agree with you, is in the Persian Gulf in the form of what they call Saudi Arabia. Not amongst the people of Arabia, of course. The vast majority of whom are decent, God-fearing Muslim people. And it's their rulers, their dictators, who are using their money to cause such murder and mayhem in Syria. Issam, thanks for the call. And let's talk to Jabi in Sweden. Go ahead, Jabi. Are you there, sir? Jabi Ibrahim in Sweden. Go ahead.
My comment about this crisis in Syria is it's about the humanitarian catastrophe that is unfolding in Syria. You know, we are positive negative when the Cold War players fail to agree without being violently disagreeable about Syria. And we hope that this latest initiative from Vladimir Putin will put an end to this conflict. This is not about to disarm Syria chemical weapon. It is about to put an end to the crisis. And if Vladimir Putin is serious, he could move forward to create a solid initiative in order to put an end to this tragedy. The Syrian people are caught in the middle.
Yeah, I think that President Putin will do that. But softly, softly, catchy monkey, as we say. The first priority was to stop the imminent blizzard of Tomahawk cruise missiles raining down upon the people of Syria. President Putin has done that. He has run rings around the American administration, as everybody in the world can see. Now he must exploit that advantage which he has gained for Russian diplomacy, and I have every confidence that he will. Let's hear what Abdulaziz in Cairo thinks. Abdulaziz, go ahead, sir. Go on, turn your television down, please.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want to comment on your reading of Russia. I believe that Russia is there for his own interest, like America is there for his own interest.
Mm.
I don't want to celebrate Russia as doing something. Where was Russia in Libya? Where was Russia in Palestine? Where was Russia in Iraq? Where was, we can name them on and on and on. So I believe America is there for its own interest. Russia is there for its own interest. That is on one side. On second side, which is the first one, is an economic interest. The second opinion is religious interest, which we have Iran on one side and Saudi on one side. And this is the most dangerous aspect until you appreciate how dangerous is this Shia Sunni divide, then you will know where this thing is going. It is a bomb waiting to explode. And unless we look at it and you read, I'm happy you are going, I mean, Takfiris and all these things. Yes, it means that you are really appreciating, because Takfiris are in Iran, Takfiris are in Saudi, are in Sunni, are in Shia. So both of them have extremist Takfiris. So that's why I keep asking you. When you mention Takfiri, both of them have it. So we need to get all these extremists from both sides so that we will appreciate what is happening in Syria. Thank you.
Well, look, I know that you don't like me calling them Takfiris, but that's exactly what they are. They are Takfiri fanatics who have arrogated to themselves the power to decide who is a believer and who is a non-believer, and taken unto themselves the right to murder those they designate as non-believers. Now, I'm sorry, such people have no place in Islam, in any religion, or in humanity as a whole. We simply cannot accept people setting themselves up as God and then carrying out mass murder against those they have decided don't fit the bill so far as their own interpretation of religion is concerned. Where was Russia in Iraq? Russia was ruled by Boris Yeltsin at the time of the Anglo-American invasion and occupation of Iraq. Didn't you know that? Don't you know that President Putin is a different kettle of fish from Boris Yeltsin? The Americans and the British certainly know it. Where was Russia at the time of Libya? Fooled, like China was. But guess what, Abdulaziz? They decided that they won't get fooled again. They decided that fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And the Russian and Chinese governments have decided, after the crime that was committed against Libya, that there would be no more crimes would happen with their imprimatur. That's why the Security Council is a no-go area for Cameron and Obama. That's why Cameron and Obama were ready to launch a war in defiance of the United Nations and acting illegally, because of course the Security Council is the only body that can give permission for an attack on any sovereign state. So you're not celebrating Russia, but guess what, Abdulaziz? All over Syria, the people are celebrating. Get over it. Mohammed is in Kabul, in Afghanistan, so I certainly want to hear from him. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, George. Good evening. This is Mohammed from Afghanistan.
Nice to hear from you.
Just a few points on this issue going on in Syria, although we have a lot of things on our plate already in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching this very closely, and let me tell you that, you know, there will be American boots in Syria, although I see a lot of statements from the foreign minister and the president himself saying that there will be no American boots. The only prime reason why the U.S. is planning to invade this country is to secure the border line with Israel. And that has been a concern by the Israeli government 2 years back when this crisis started. But to cut the long story short, George, the Arab League, unfortunately the Muslim nations, are not doing enough to unite together, not to oppose America, but to stop this kind of behavior. This is unacceptable. And they're just doing everything under the banner, under the label of international law.
If they were doing it under the banner of international law, that would be a fine thing. Then they could all put all their money and all their efforts into freeing the Palestinian people who have been occupied under international law, brutally, militarily, illegally, decade after decade after decade, without Muslim countries lifting a finger to help them, with one exception, of course, and that's the Muslim country they all like to hate. Farouk is the last caller in London. Please be quick, Farouk. Farouk?
Yes.
Go ahead quickly, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, George. Briefly, is you know, we do hope and pray that you know, the world, whoever is involved, should take this initiative launched by the Russian government, especially President Putin, to put an end to this madness that's going on there. And the idea, you know, that you know, these tomahawks goes flying into Syria, you know, even what is called the unlimited way that President Obama is talking about, is going to be devastating. More lives, more things, but no conclusion whatsoever. You know, we do hope that the grace and mercy of God, that people will really put their feet on the ground and, you know, take that initiative and move forward on this. Despite that, William Hague said today that, you know, probably he's going to put it through to Parliament, depending on the UN report, inspector's report.
Yeah,
he'd like to. If that is feasible or not, George.
Farouk, William Hague would love for the Americans to attack Syria, but they're not now going to. They've been stopped in their tracks by public opinion, by Parliament, and by the US Congress. Hallelujah.
Hello, just comment on your name and the place you left that number. And just make sure the phone, your television volume is set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You'll be directed.